Coming up this week on Vacation Land. Happy New Year, everyone. Well, sort of. It's the third week of January. It's our first show of the year. Two Southern California theme parks closed during recent wet weather. Universal Comcast employees get a New Year surprise, and a popular discount returns for Southern California residents. Plus, one theme park packs in the crowds to say goodbye to some popular attractions and one very popular bar. Plus, a little bit later on, we're going to jump into 2018 in part one of our winter/2018 preview and then talk about some of the things that are coming to the parks during the first half of the year. From an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is Vacation Land. Vacation Land for the week of January 22nd, 2017. Don't forget, you can connect with Vacation Land online by visiting our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, Instagram, VL Podcast, and I finally wrote down our Twitter account. We are at Twitter, at Vacation Land Show. So hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of Vacation Land, a discussion on the latest news, reviews, trip planning, and history from around the Southern California theme park scene and beyond, brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. My name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of Vacation Land, and this week I am joined by YouTube sensation and our Not Very Farm reporter, Brandis Strotman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Welcome back. And joined this week again, and I'm proud to introduce as a new regular rotation on our team, Mr. John Strotman. Hello, John.
Well, hello there.
Thank you for joining us again on such short notice.
I love it. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so John will be joining us on a more regular basis. He's had a lot of fun doing it. We love having him here. So I went ahead and invited him to kind of keep joining us every week or every 2 weeks. And he's a great contributor to the show. So we're going to actually be really fortunate to have him joining us. So welcome.
Invitation
everybody.
Accepted.
Invitation accepted.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I forgot to check with him before we went on the air. But thank you.
No, you knew. You knew the answer already.
I did. All right. Well, welcome you guys. How is everyone doing today?
Good, good.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So we were going to have Diane Hobday join us today, but Diane had a very happy birthday last night, and so decided to take the morning off. And
it's happy birthday, Diane.
Happy birthday,
happy
Diane.
Birthday.
Yeah. And Aaron Owens, I'm proud to announce, is going to be our new contributing photographer to our Instagram and our Facebook page. So Aaron will be joining us on a more frequent rotation. And associate producer John is still missing in action somewhere on the South Bay. So we're going to hope he comes back and is able to join us again soon. So like I said, it's a Happy New Year time. It's 2018. We're recording this about the third week of January on a Sunday, a chilly Sunday morning here out to be by the ocean. First thing I got to ask you guys is, how was your holiday?
It was really great. Our boys got a Wii U for Christmas that came with Zelda Breath of the Wild, so I've been very busy.
A big gamer fan?
Yes, but only really certain games, but huge Zelda fan, and very proud my six-year-old started playing it, and for a six-year-old, he is really good.
I got Battlefront 2. For PlayStation 4. I've heard mixed reviews. I haven't actually, a month removed from Christmas, and I still haven't gotten a chance to play it yet.
Wait, that's the one, maybe I'm mixing up my games here.
It's a Star Wars game.
Okay.
And
okay.
So the first one, people really complained because it was more, they kind of made it across, it was like Halo or Call of Duty without the storyline.
Okay. Now I got it. Yeah.
So you could have the interactive group play online, but there was nothing really, there was no story, there was nothing really to do. It just, you fought a bunch of battles. So Battlefront 2 kind of rectified that. They're going to have a storyline, but it's still the online play. So
cool. We'll
see.
Here's a question. Why hasn't Nintendo opened a theme park?
That is actually coming in Japan. Yeah. We haven't covered it here because we just do Southern California stuff and sometimes Disney World.
I'm going to Japan.
Yeah. So in 2020 or 2021, the good news is you don't have to go all the way to Japan if you want to wait a little bit, because once it opens in Japan, the rumor is that it's coming here to Southern California.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Florida or Southern California?
Southern California will be next, and then the last stop on the Nintendo rotation will be Universal Studios in Orlando. So we're hoping that they're clearing right now at Universal Studios. They're clearing a lot of land. They've down in that lower lot, kind of where they had a lot of sound stages. It's one of the oldest sound stages at Universal Studios, sort of behind where Transformers is, if you're familiar with Universal Studios Hollywood. So they're clearing a lot of land, and that's sort of where everybody has got the assumption that they're going to be building their new Nintendo Land. And
any word on the types of rides or attractions?
There have been rumors. There have been.
I mean, you have to do Super Mario Brothers,
right? You have to. So,
but then, are they going to choose Zelda or one of there's got to be a Yoshi. Sorry, I keep interrupting. A Yoshi's ride.
One of the rumors is that they're actually patenting a new ride system to do a Mario Kart type of attraction.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, which would actually be a lot of fun. They haven't released much more than people have sort of dug up online. That's one of the things that they found online, is that they're sort of patenting this ride system for a Mario Kart attraction. Other than that, it's just a lot of concept art. And people have, if you go online and just Google Nintendo Universal, there's some concept art, and that's kind of it. It's just kind of a big secret right now. So.
Man, and which Zelda are they going to cover?
Well, then that's the thing.
And are they going to do Metroid?
Yeah, and that's the question. Or, what's the other one? I can't remember all my Sega Nintendo games. Like a Castlevania. Are you going to do Castlevania? Are you going to do, Super Mario Brothers? Where do you... Yoshi? Are you going to do
Yoshi?
But they could
Super
do,
Mario
like,
World.
Flight of the Hippogriff. It could be turned into, like, a Yoshi.
Yeah, definitely.
Or even, like, the elephant ride at Disneyland could be a Yoshi ride.
Oh, yeah, just kind of, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got to name their restaurant Kirby something. They should hire me.
Brandis is available for consulting. What would you, John, is there anything, we're all kind of the same age. You all have some of the same memories of Nintendo. Is there something you would like to see out of a...
I never had a Nintendo.
Never had a Nintendo.
I had a friend that had one. It was really boring watching him play it.
He was one of those friends. I was one of those friends.
Yeah. Okay. So what I do, there was a game I did like. It was called like TNC Surf or something. You like skateboard and surf.
I loved that game.
That game was awesome.
That was one of my favorite games to play on Nintendo. My grandma bought me my Nintendo when I was, when it was maybe four.
Your grandma's
three,
awesome.
3 or 4 years. Yeah. I remember I was specifically going, like, it was my Christmas or birthday present, and we went down to the toy store. It was the toy store down in Alhambra, and I don't know why this memory just sticks out of my head, but yeah, we went down to the physical, actual freestanding, not even in the mall. It was just a physical freestanding toy store, and I remember buying it and coming home. Duck Hunt, you got to do a duck hunt.
Oh, okay.
sort of
could totally do a Duck Hunt where you win prizes. There you go, a side game.
Right, or like, have you been on Twister and Midway Mania? So then you ride through and you kind of shoot the little cannon into these 3D screens. So that's what kind of maybe what I'm envisioning they do. They would do a Duck Hunt game as.
Remember California Games?
I do.
That one.
I
love the surfing and the hacky sack on that. Yes. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, that TMZ surf.
Hacky sack on a game?
It sounds dumb, but it was awesome.
It sounds like the 90s.
It was the 90s. Yeah,
yeah, well, whatever.
All right. Well, moving right along, you guys, we got our first listener mail. Listener comment came to us. So I wanted to just give a shout out to my good friend Angel, who lives up in Seattle. And he left it to us on our Facebook page. And all he said was, loving the podcast. And he says, it makes for a great bus commute into Seattle, and keep up the good work. So we have at least one listener out there that's not in the Southern California area. He just he lives up in Seattle. He just recently moved up there. Awesome. And so he listens to us on his commute. He takes
now the pressure's on.
Right? Now he's just expanding. So thank you, Angel, for leaving that. And if you want to leave a comment for us, go ahead and just head on over to our Facebook page. We're also you can send us an email at vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think of the show. Judge us, tell us what we're doing wrong, by all means. Okay.
Or what we're doing right, maybe.
Or what we're doing right.
You know, anything, either way.
Yeah. But you do you. All right. So we're going to move on. So again, thank you to all of our listeners out there. We're glad you're joining us again in 2018. And we're going to move on to park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
you find riding on the old Knightsbury line.
All right, Park Hopping is our bi-weekly news segment where we go around the various theme parks and try to find out what is going on in the world of entertainment. And this week with our first story is going to be John. John, what do you got?
What do I got? Okay, theme parks closed during Southern California rainstorm. SeaWorld San Diego Tuesday made the decision to close the park January 9th because of an ongoing rainstorm expected to continue throughout the day. Due to the current and continued forecast inclement weather bringing heavy rain and strong winds to San Diego County, SeaWorld will be closed today, park spokesman David Kuntz said. Safety of our guests and employment is... I was trying to do it. Okay, sorry. Safety of our guests and employees is and will always be our top priority. SeaWorld and San Diego also posted on their Facebook page. Hey fans, due to the heavy rain and strong winds, SeaWorld San Diego will be closed today. We will be back open tomorrow, and we hope you are all as excited as we are for our all-new inside look starting this week where you can go behind the scenes to see what the vets see. And what does that mean, see what the vets see?
I'm assuming it's the animal vets.
Okay.
Like the veterinarians.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. And not like veterans.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh.
When I read that, I was like, I thought the same thing. I said, wait, what are we? Oh, no, it's he's talking about.
Now them. It seems obvious, but yeah, at the time, when I first read it, I was like, oh, okay. It was expected that SeaWorld will reopen on Wednesday, Kuntz added. The last time the San Diego park closed for the day was nearly a year ago on February 27th due to heavy rain. Six Flags Magic Mountain and Knott's Berry Farm posted to social media that they would be closed due to the storm as well. Magic Mountain added that it would accept tickets purchased from today on any other date in 2018.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice. What else were they going to do?
We'll like, give you whatever. A specific date. Like, we'll only accept these tickets next week.
No, they absolutely could. And I don't know what Knott's Berry Farm and SeaWorld did, but yeah, they could have said, we'll accept it from this week to this week. Yeah. You know, but
well, they messed up. Knott's doesn't do flexible tickets. Your ticket's good for any day.
Oh. Okay.
And yeah. I've never known them to be at capacity.
So did you guys know that Knott's Berry Farm closed in the rain?
Yes.
Okay.
One time before we were pass holders, I went to take my daughter there on her birthday. Now, if you go to Disneyland when it's raining...
Disneyland will be open after the nuclear holocaust.
It's pretty empty, so I like going in the rain, like you could get right on the rides. So when it was raining on that day for Knott's, I assumed it'd be the same thing. Picked up her friend, drove all the way out there just to be turned away because they were closed. Knott's closes actually the tiniest bit of drizzle, they close all their roller coasters.
They do. When I was working at Knott's, and here's a little bit of that inside information. So what it is, they don't necessarily close in the rain. They kind of say they close in the rain. When I was there many years ago, they would close when if they were at a certain point in time. So if they open at 9, if by say 10 or 11 o'clock, there are less than 1,000, think about this, less than 1,000 people in the park, they will close. Because I'm assuming it's just not financially.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, you got to have all those employees there.
Viable too. So on days when it would rain, remember days when it would rain? Because we've been in a drought for the last few years. But when it would rain, we would sit there and we'd wait for them to open the gates at 9 o'clock and literally count down until 2 hours. And then we would get a phone call to say, close it up because there's like 800 people in the park. And
Snoopy was like, I'm out of here.
Snoopy was done. Snoopy was on the freeway by that point. Going,
Woodstock, let's go.
I'm picturing that music now, the Peanuts sad music.
It was really weird because when the phone call came in, it would sound like, wah, 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 wah.
But you knew what they were saying. You
know, right, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you always do, right?
Yeah.
You know, our youngest started going to Knott's, you know, as a pass holder before he was even able to talk. And when he started getting older and talking, and he would play rides at home, and he'd always do, welcome to Knott's Berry Farm.
When I was in high school, we had this whole, anytime you give a teenager a mic, it's always an interesting experience. But we had this this microphone, and so we would take turns practicing how to do the voice and the launch sound of Montezuma's Revenge.
Oh,
so that was our big thing. Whenever we had the mic, we would have this contest to see who could do the you know, stand back, stand clear.
Yeah. I love that ride.
That's a great.
The lights go off, and then it's like boom, there you go.
That's
I love that ride.
That was my first like big kid roller coaster. Okay. I was in It wasn't until junior. It was about 6 months ago, and I'm still getting therapy about it. No, I was in junior high. We had a junior high eighth grade like graduation trip to Knott's Berry Farm,
nice.
And that was the first time I was I did like a big like
upside down coaster. Yeah,
that in Corkscrew. You guys remember Corkscrew?
Oh, I remember Corkscrew. Yeah, yeah,
that was my. Those were.
What about? Do you still not?
I love roller coasters. I'll go on.
Needs to go to Knott's with us then.
I can never get anybody to go on Ghost Rider with me. I have to go on it by myself, which is kind of sad.
Sick.
That ride hurts so bad.
No, they fixed it.
Oh, did they fix
it? It was shut, like, gosh, how many months? Like 6 months it was shut for refurbishment, and that's their big selling point is that it's a smoother ride now.
That's
it took out the ricketiness.
But if you remember that piece we did over the boy being injured,
yes,
they did mention that most of the injuries, or maybe it's an article I read on my own, most of the injuries at Knott's are from Ghost Rider.
That makes a lot of sense, because that ride used to rattle your teeth and slam you around. So
you wouldn't go on it with me?
I would. No, actually, okay. I love Ghost Rider. Right. I was when my time, just to give you an idea, when I was working at Knott's, Ghost Rider was not finished yet.
Oh my gosh.
They were still, you know, that bridge that goes over the entrance?
They're
that was...
Wait, how old were you when you were working at Knott's?
It was my first job out of high school.
Nice. Okay, because I was 18. I was going to say when Ghost Rider, the first year it opened, is the only time I've been on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was about 19.
Yeah,
so.
She went on it with someone else, but won't go on it with me.
they can't hear in the podcast, but I'm rolling my eyes.
Oh.
Just, you're going to hear that from outer space. Right. Okay, so thank you guys. Okay. Thank you, John. Mm-hmm. And Brandis, you're up next.
Universal team members get a New Year's surprise. Universal Studios team members recently received news that they would be getting a one-time bonus of $1,000 in appreciation of their work over the past year.
Yes.
Comcast, you don't work there.
Oh, I know, just cool.
Comcast, NBC Universal, and Spectacor employees who meet the following criteria will be receiving the bonus. Employees as of December 31st, 2017, staff, U.S. full-time or part-time employees, non-staff U.S. employees who have 1,560 hours paid with NBC Universal during the 2017 year. For Universal Studios Hollywood, non-staff employees are defined as hourly variable scheduled team members. Vice president level or above are excluded. Oh, gee, wonder why. Because they don't get better bonuses?
Yeah, they get better bonuses than that.
They don't print those bonuses,
Universal Parks and Resorts Chairman and CEO Tom Williams posted a publicly viewable announcement on the UO Team website, home base for Universal Orlando team member resources. It says, "Dear fellow team members, Brian Roberts, Chairman and CEO of Comcast, recently announced awarding special $1,000 bonuses to eligible frontline and non-executive employees. Universal Parks and Resorts is honored to be part of the Comcast NBC Universal family, an organization that believes in the promise and potential of our team members. Whether you work in Orlando, Hollywood, Osaka, or on the planning team for Beijing, you bring to life compelling entertainment and immersive experiences for our guests like no one else in the world. Our exciting growth demonstrates Comcast's continued investment in our parks and resorts. You can be proud not only for our company, but that you are truly part of something bigger, just as I am proud to share this special bonus with you as we start the new year. Thank you for everything you do to keep our guests entertained and for making Universal Parks and Resorts the choice of millions worldwide. Now, while some have assumed this bonus represents direct fallout from the recent drastic tax cuts that benefit Comcast, NBC Universal, as a massive media conglomerate, it's very nice to see the company sharing the wealth amongst its employees regardless. Bonuses will be paid out on or around Friday, January 26, 2018, via direct deposit or check. The bonus is subject to tax withholding."
It's going to be a good Friday there.
And that's sort of the rub there. It's that anytime it's a bonuses are also actually taxed at like a higher rate than your normal salary.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of that. But okay.
Either way. You know.
And regardless of what you think about the tax cut, and regardless if you think that this is a part of that tax cut, what do we think about them giving this, you know, sort of
bonus? If I was an employee, it would be nice.
It would be nice. You know, in 4 years of working at Disneyland, we never saw anything like this. And, you know, I don't know that anybody's ever seen like this working at another theme park company. Obviously, Comcast Universal is much more than a theme park company, but I think it's wonderful that they included their frontline employees in this. A lot of times when you work as a frontline employee, even if another division, you know, say Disney, right, obviously, if there's a bonus to be had, a lot of times those frontline employees get left out of it. Now, they're probably going to see taxes on this in the neighborhood of the, you know, 35% range, but it's still a nice gesture, and I still think it's one of those things where I believe it's a direct challenge to Disney. Hey, look at what we're doing. You know, it used to be that Disney was the gold standard for how it treated its employees, and I think Comcast is really, in all aspects, design and theme parks and entertainment, and now employee relations, you know, really setting the challenge to Disney and, you know, kind of coming in on their turf.
Well, I have a little bit of a scary thing to throw in there, though. Like, I worked for a bank once, and they gave us all, like, bonuses, and then they, like, fired half the people there.
Ooh.
So, you should say which bank that was,
no,
because
I don't want to talk about
after
that.
They
saying.
Got fired, they got raided by the feds.
Okay. Oh, well, I think we can all sort of take a wild guess
at
which bank that was.
Okay.
So. All right. Okay, well, up next is me, if I can find my story. Southern California discount tickets are back, you guys. If you are if you are a Southern California resident, you can now take advantage of a special ticket offer for a limited time. The Southern California resident ticket offer provides flexible options for 2 or 3 days of magic and adventure at a special price. For a limited time, guests may select these purchase options, which can save Southern California residents up to 25% off. Select, select multi-day tickets. All right. So you guys ready for this? You guys want
to
know what you can save? Okay.
I'd love to hear it.
A 2-day ticket with a choice of one park per day for $159. A 2-day park hopper ticket, meaning you can go back and forth between the parks, for $204. A 3-day park hopper ticket, with one park per day for $199, and a 3-day park hopper ticket for $244. Southern California residents may purchase tickets at www.disneyland.com/SoCal and at Disneyland Resort ticket booths. Guests who purchase tickets online may print their tickets at home. Proof of residency is required for purchase and theme park admission with these tickets. Guests may also purchase Disney Max Pass, a total scam and digital tool for guests to maximize their experience. I did not have a good experience with Disney Max Pass.
Why? What happened?
It was glitchy. It eats a lot of battery, that app does. Uh-huh. And if everybody in your party doesn't get it, which it's $10 per person per day. Right. So if you have a family of four and you want to, so the Max Pass is you can download their app and you can pay this $10 to be able to just digitally get your
fast
passes instead of going to the machines and doing it. But if everybody in your family doesn't get them, then
it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, it's kind of pointless. And so me with my annual pass, I get it for free, but we weren't going to pay an additional, we had four people with us last time we were at the parks, we weren't going to pay an additional $30.
Right.
If you don't show up, you can't reserve your fast passes with Max Pass until you get into the park. So if you get into the park, say not at opening, and you come a little bit later, now you've paid an additional, if you have a family, for $40. And some of the times, and it's really busy, some of the times and attractions that you really want may be what we call sold out or done distributing for the day. So it's one of those, I guess if you have $40 to burn, or if you have that extra $10 per person per day to burn, then it sort of makes sense. And you're going to get there right at rope drop, and you're going to get, you know, you want to do every single thing. But in my opinion, Max Pass is
$40 chicken feed.
Yeah, no right. just light that on fire.
Let me ask you a question.
Make it rain.
That first, boom. Make it, okay. That first option there, 2 days for one. What was it? $159.
2 days, one park, $159.
So 2 days. So 1 day you go to Disneyland. 1 day you go to California Adventure.
Correct.
$159.
Yes.
That sounds really actually super awesome.
Yeah, am I wrong? That's actually not a bad deal. I'm gonna look up really quickly here.
Isn't it like 100 something? I mean, how much is it just a ticket just to go to one each day? I can't recall.
Don't they do flexible pricing now at Disneyland?
It is also, it depends on the time of year now. When you go. So if you go during peak times, summertime, Holidays, it's going to cost you a little bit more. If you were to go like the 2nd of February and, you know, on a rainy day, it might be a little bit, be a little bit less.
Do you think the discount tickets, though, for Southern California, whatever, that's, you could do any time, or are they sort of like blacked out stuff?
It actually doesn't say. I'm assuming that you can go online anytime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that there's, I pulled this directly from the website, so it actually doesn't say when you can use them. All right. So right now, and this is sort of a selected number of days on the Disneyland website, currently prices vary by date. So if you were to purchase a ticket, let's say for the end of this month on...
Look up February 15th.
All right. Let's look up February 15th.
For no reason.
For no particular reason at all. Reason.
Oh, just a date I came
up
with.
That's a Thursday. So that is the value time, and this is for... Let's just do for one adult, and an adult at Disneyland.
How about just two kids? No. And wait, can you enter your credit card for me and tell me what it says?
Yeah. So for two kids, so let's see. For one kid, 10 and up, on the 15th during their value period, is $91. For one adult during the value period is $97. During the regular period, and all this is kind of color-coded on the, so anytime it's on a weekend, near holiday, it's going to cost you a little bit more. The regular period, regular tickets begin at $110. Peak period, tickets begin at $124. So
it's like only an extra couple.
So Jason could be 9 when we go.
No, he can't do that. I have a friend, though. This is funny. Okay, so his daughter is, what's the cutoff, like 3 or for the free?
Oh, for the free, yeah, 3 and under. Yeah, 3 and under.
So he told his daughter that, you know, you're 3 today. And she said, no, I'm 4. You know, and she's all excited to be 4. And he told her, he's like, well, you're 3 today or we're not going to Disneyland. Oh, I thought that was terrible.
Well, we used to do that with Sam.
No, we didn't.
No, we did. We, I think at Knott's, was it at 2 is the cutoff for not having the pass. And we made him be...
I don't do
it. 2.
You did that. I didn't do that.
Like you throw him in a stroller and you tell him not to talk to anybody.
Whoa, easy. Don't throw him. Place him in a stroller. You don't throw him.
Now we know Brandy's secrets. You
cover their head with a blanket. No.
Wow.
Yeah, they're sleeping.
Oh, man.
All right.
I'm learning a lot about you today.
Like you've never gone with me. Yeah. 15 years later.
So does this discount, would this discount, I know you guys said you're maybe thinking about planning a trip soon too.
We are going...
February 15th.
Yeah.
I was just curious because if it's only an extra like 40, here's what we do, Brandy. We buy those tickets. We go with the family on the 15th. I mean, you go to California Adventure the next
day.
They
have alcohol there.
They have alcohol. And
that kind of segues into another.
That segues into our last news story about some very popular alcohol that is no longer there, sadly. But hopefully we'll be coming back. So, Brandy, why don't you take us into our last news story?
Okay. People flooded into California Adventure. I said that wrong. People flooded into Disney California Adventure to bid goodbye to some of the park's most iconic rides and places, which will be disappearing as Disney eliminates its Paradise Pier district. The Paradise Pier section of the park was one of the main attractions when the park opened to the public on February 8, 2001. Designed to look like a classic California amusement pier from the golden age of the 1920s, it includes some of California Adventure's most popular rides, such as the California Screamin' Roller Coaster and Mickey's Fun Wheel Ferris Wheel. Fun Wheel Ferris Wheel, is that really the name?
It's Mickey's Fun Wheel. Disney has this insane habit of just making names and things more complicated and longer than they probably should be.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mickey's... So it used to be just the Fun Wheel, and then when they did the billion-dollar refurb of California Adventure, they changed it to Mickey's Fun Wheel because they stuck Mickey's, you know, 70-foot face on the side of it.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be now.
Wait, so it's California, the Screaming, the what's it called, that ride?
California Screaming, yeah.
That's going out?
That closed. That actually closed.
Oh, there's more.
I only wrote it once.
Okay, along with the Ariel's Grotto restaurant and the Cove Bar, the area will be shut down for around 6 months while it's remodeled into distinct new neighborhoods celebrating Pixar movies. By 8:30 a.m., hundreds of people were already in line to have a last cocktail at the Cove Bar overlooking the pier. Closing down starting January 8th, most will reopen with new Pixar themes. So closing down, California Screamin', Mickey's Fun Wheel, Games of the Boardwalk, Sideshow Shirts, Ariel's Grotto, Cove Bar, Treasures in Paradise, Paradise Pier Ice Cream Company. Oh, Paradise Pier Ice Cream Company is still open for business. No.
No.
Oh, sorry, God. I'm reading that wrong. That's closed. Okay. Still open for business is Silly Symphony Swings, Jumping Jellyfish, Goofy Sky School, Golden Zephyr, Ariel's Undersea Adventure, King Triton's Carousel, Toy Story Midway Mania.
And so I'm assuming that some of those, like the Jumping Jellyfish is going to go to, they're going to do this in phases, you know, so some of those ones.
What's
are...
What's the Jumping Jellyfish from? Because that sounds like a cartoon square.
It literally things. It goes back to the original Paradise Pier, like when it first opened in 2001. And it's just literally, it's a kind of a parachute drop, but it's not, it's a combination of the parachute jump, the old parachute jump from Knott's, and Woodstock's that sort of, halfway Supreme Scream.
Oh, the mail, the post,
Itty Bitty Supreme Scream.
Itty Bitty, I like that. Supreme Scream.
Okay. So it's sort of like, so it takes you up, but it's a very controlled drop, and it drops you, you know, down. Out in Disneyland Paris, they have something similar to that, except it's themed to the Green Army Men. So it's like Army Men parachuting off. So I'm assuming that at some point they're going to.
So, but Jumping Jellyfish, isn't it? Because it sounds like maybe in The Little Mermaid, it's something that the, what's that fish's name again?
Oh, Sebastian.
Not Sebastian, that's the crab. The fish was...
Oh, Flounder.
Flounder. Yeah. It sounds like something Flounder would say, like, oh, no, Jumping Jellyfish.
I think that there's a line that Sebastian said at one point. Jumping Jellyfish.
So that would be where it comes from.
Yeah, probably where the name came from.
Under the sea.
Yeah.
But only 30 seconds of that, because then we'll get... sued.
I think it's 3 seconds, actually.
3 seconds.
Three, yeah. we're getting sued.
Less than eight bars.
Yeah. No, you're counting syllables.
Okay.
Less than 8 bars. I know that.
Sorry.
Any thought? I have my thoughts on this.
I want to know, why is California Screaming going? What's the deal?
So we're going to talk about this, actually, in a couple of weeks when we talk about it. But we can discuss it now.
I need to know.
In 2 weeks when we get into the rest of our 2018 preview, so what it is that California Screaming is closing because they're going to completely enclose the queue. They're going to completely retheme the music. They're going to create a whole show scene at the launch portion. It's actually getting themed into an Incredibles theme.
So the ride's technically not going anywhere. It's just
the ride's
changing.
Not going anywhere. It's just changing. But So they're not. Yeah, they're not actually dismantling and tearing it down.
Wow.
They're just changing the theme. It's going to get this. Like a mid-century modern entrance location and a show scene, and so I have my own thoughts about this, and that's essentially what's happening. The one that everybody's concerned about, the one that I hear over and over and over again, is the Cove Bar. And if you go to our Instagram page, some of us actually went out not the final night, but about a few days before, and had a last cocktail at the Cove Bar at California Adventure and Paradise Pier. It was just a nice place. It never had the capacity, but it was just a nice place to sit and have a drink. You got to sit down and watch the water, and it was kind of on this little jetty. They expanded it a few years ago to have more capacity, but the word is, and according to that story as well, that when the park opened, people made a beeline to that bar and spent several hours.
Wait,
in line.
At 8:30 a.m.
At 8:30 a.m.
In California, you couldn't sell alcohol till 10.
No, you can sell. Well, technically, you can sell alcohol after 6. Don't ask me how I know that. 6
a.m.
6 a.m. You can sell alcohol in the state of California. Stops at 2, starts at 6. That's all I'll say.
Okay, that gives you 4 hours to sober up and start again.
and unless the city of Los Angeles is working on an ordinance to sell it till 4. So it gives you a couple hours.
Isn't that supposed to cover all of California?
Is it all of California?
Yeah, because I love alcohol, but I'm really against, like, you need a cutoff at some point. Like, go home, people.
Yeah, it's supposed to be mostly for bars and stuff. But anyway, getting back on track, some people showed up at 8:30. I don't think that this bar opens until actually 11. And so they were just wanted to be the last ones to – it was just, like I said, again, it was outdoors. It was shaded for the most part. Nice place to sip and have a cocktail. I don't know what the future iteration of this is going to look like. I don't know if they're going to enclose it, if it's going to stay the same, if they're just going to retheme it. And Ariel's Grotto, which is the restaurant that it was attached to, is also getting a retheming. Again, this is one of those when I worked there stories. When I worked there, it opened actually as Wolfgang Puck's.
Oh,
it was
wow.
a Wolfgang Puck's restaurant on the pier at California Adventure, and it never did very well. kind of along the lines of the rest of the park, but they changed it when they redid a lot of stuff to include more characters. And but the Co-Bar was actually very, very nice place.
So, now, at California Adventure, are you allowed to walk around with your alcohol?
You sure are.
Okay, because that's one of the things. Knott's doesn't serve hard alcohol. It's just beer and wine, but you could go anywhere in the park with it. And so
it's mostly beer and wine. Now, they still don't sell alcohol in most places at Disneyland.
Yeah.
But so it used to be that they would have, if you got it from a fast food place, you would have red cups and you weren't allowed to walk around.
Okay.
And the employees were trained like, so red means stop, green means go. Mm. If you got it from like a beer cart and you got a green cup and you could walk around with it because you got it from the beer cart. That all, about 5 years ago or so, that all kind of went away. And so now they just, any place you buy a beer or a drink.
Yeah, because if you're at the park with your kids and you just want to get some wine to calm down.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to have to sit and make your kids sit because that's like opposite of what you want.
Right, yeah. So you can actually, in most places, now if you go to the Carthay Circle Lounge, which is right at the entrance of California Adventure, I don't know if they do, it's an upscale lounge. I don't know if they do to-go drinks there. Definitely at the Cove Bar, they serve you in plastic cups and you can, I'm pretty sure you can take those with you. I know the beer you can definitely, the beer and wine you can definitely, and the margaritas can walk around with. Those are all in the green cups. All right. So yeah, we'll take a look again. We'll talk more about the changes coming to Paradise Pier. I think that's insane that people were waiting 4 hours in line to go to the Cove Bar on the last day. I don't necessarily need to be there. I've never been one of those people like I have to be there.
I wonder how many of those people ordered just a basic drink instead of something special.
I wonder. Yeah. They had a fun drink called the Fun Wheel. And it was off the menu. It was all off the menu drinks and it was served in a hurricane glass. And you could kind of tell in the last few weeks that it was open that they were preparing to close because all of their drinks now came in just your standard plastic cup instead of the glassware that they used to serve it in. But we went there and we got the Fun Wheel and it's you know alcohol of different weights. And so when they would layered, and it was, you know, blue, purple, pink, you know, fuchsia, whatever.
Oh, it sounds like a hangover.
It was fun. It was really sweet, but it was a great off the menu drink. They had great lobster nachos. They had really great food there, and so a lot of people are really sad to see it go.
Ariel's Grotto served
food.
Well, no. I'm sorry, but they served fish.
I'm pretty sure they served seafood.
Like Sebastian's crab legs.
Yeah. That was always an interesting. We never ate in there. That was
your battered flounder.
I think they only did like princess, you know, character meals in there. So we never.
They ate the princess.
battered Ariel. No. That's terrible. All right. Well, thank you guys. Thank you for park hopping. We're gonna move on. We're gonna very quickly do our segment here. We have two things that we're going to start here. So this is part of two parts, a preview coming into what's going to be happening in the park. So we're going to cover Universal, we're going to cover Knott's Berry Farm, and in 2 weeks we're going to cover something interesting that's going on at Six Flags. This is part one of part two. The first one is Universal and Disney are going to be launching new offerings for Lunar New Year. Disneyland and Universal Studios Hollywood are preparing to celebrate Lunar New Year again this January. Disneyland's celebration will be January 26th through February 18th, 2018, and Universal Studios will feature a celebration from February 10th through the 25th. At Universal Studios Hollywood, you can join Poe and Tigress from the award-winning Kung Fu Panda franchise in an all-new recreation of Poe's Village in Universal Plaza. All new additions to Universal Studios include a visit with Illuminations Minions, that one took me a while to figure out, dressed in traditional Chinese attire, Mr. Ping's Noodle Shop, where you'll find authentic Asian noodle and dim sum dishes. You can enjoy a Dragon Warriors Kung Fu training show. That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen. Live performances and more at Jade's Palace. They're also offering a Poe and Tigress photo op. You can take photos with Poe and Tigress from the award-winning Kung Fu Panda franchise and an all-new recreation of Poe's Village in Universal Plaza. They're going to have a Mandarin-speaking Megatron walk around character in front of the Transformers, so you can face off with Mandarin-speaking Megatron from Transformers. The Chinese Zodiac That's all that it says. Face off with the Mandarin-speaking Megatron from Transformers. Nice. So I wonder if he's bilingual. Does he speak English and Mandarin, or is he just going to be speaking?
You know, he can Chinese. Speak whatever he wants. Says he's the. You
know. he's big and he's robotic. So, yeah. Chinese zodiac features 12 animals and rotates based on year. The 12 animals of the Chinese zodiac are rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, goat, monkey, rooster, dog, and pig. In Chinese astrology, each year is related to Chinese zodiac animal according to the 12-year cycle, and 2018 is a Earth dog year. So a lot of the stuff at Disney has a lot of Pluto stuff over at Disney.
Oh, yeah.
If you were born in the year of the dog, you're deemed lucky for you in the following things. Your lucky numbers are 3, 4, and 9. Red, green, and purple are your lucky colors, and your lucky flowers are rose and orchids. Years of the dog include 1934, 46, 58, 70, 82, 94, 2006, and 2018. The dog occupies the 11th position in the Chinese zodiac after the rooster and before the pig. And so on our Facebook page, in our show notes, we're going to include a link that explains some of the things in the Chinese zodiac. And we would like to know what you are. What Chinese zodiac animal are you? So we're going to post a poll on our Facebook page and head on over there and let us know, all of you are loyal listeners, which Chinese zodiac animal are you? Over at California Adventure, the celebration will feature a new show on Paradise Bay for the holiday and a new processional along Paradise Pier. Guests will enjoy an impressive array of multicultural musicians and performances at different venues around the park. Be on the lookout for Disney characters dressed in traditional garb ready to take part in the fun. They're going to have ornamental lanterns. You can pay a visit to the Lucky Wishing Well and send your... what they say, your creative spirit soaring with the help of local artists. So I wonder if they're going to do those like Chinese lanterns that you can.
Those are so awesome.
Those are so cool.
Oh yeah, we saw some on the beach recently when we were walking on the pier for our wedding. It was really pretty.
Two of the entertainment offerings there are going to be Hurry Home Lunar New Year Celebration, which will be sort of a new version of World of Color. Guests will gather for a nighttime water show that celebrates family and friendship at Paradise Bay. Experience a little lantern's quest to reunite with family during their annual gathering to celebrate good fortune for the upcoming year. The story is told with two distinctive styles of animation, sky-high fountains, and dazzling light along the side to tell the tale. Moving musical score, originally created for the opening ceremony of Shanghai Disney by award-winning composer Tan Dun, accompanies a new show. Also in the entertainment offerings, Mulan is going to have a new parade. Mulan's Lunar New Year procession. You can take part in sensational sights and sounds during a vibrant parade hosted by Mulan and Mushu. Mushu is one of my favorite Disney characters. Nice. I love Eddie Murphy. I did until he made Haunted Mansion. Mulan and Mushu welcome all to a musical march honoring the Lunar New Year family and friendship. Music from Disney's Mulan fills the air and a sea of performers gracefully flow through the streets. So again, we're going to give you more information on Chinese New Year. We're going to put up a poll. Let us know which Chinese zodiac animal you are. That's going to do it for me. And Brandis has some thoughts on some of the things coming to Knott's Berry Farm. Brandis.
Okay. So, Knott's Peanut Celebration. Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and all of their comic strip pals are taking over Knott's Berry Farm for the first ever park-wide Knott's Peanut Celebration starting on January 27, 2018. The Knott's Peanut Celebration, an all-new seasonal event dedicated to celebrating the Peanuts characters, invites guests to step inside the pages of a Charles M. Schulz comic strip as the characters take over the entire Knott's Berry Farm theme park for the very first time. The newly introduced event will take place on weekends beginning January 27th through February 25th, plus President's Day, February 19th. The limited time celebration introduces new ways for guests to play and interact with the Peanuts gang throughout the park. The event will feature special Peanuts-inspired decor, new comic strip photo ops, new character experiences, live shows, exclusive merchandise, and themed treats. Camp Snoopy Theater presents an all-new show where Lucy and Charlie put their talents to the test in Lucy and Charlie Brown's balancing act. Also in Camp Snoopy, the Grand Sierra Railroad invites kids to celebrate with the Peanuts gang as they head to the B Beagle Bonanza in this new ride overlay. The Peanuts-inspired festivities continue at the Birdcage Theater as the park introduces an experience that gives both young and the young at heart a lesson on how to draw their favorite Peanuts character. The Peanuts Sketch School will include our resident art teacher who will provide step-by-step instructions on how to draw the perfect Peanuts masterpiece. After class is dismissed, a special showing of Classic Peanuts television special will be shown in the theater. Franklin and Linus are on the Western Escapade as they transform into cowboys in the new Peanuts Cowboy Jamboree at Calico Park. The boys are looking to challenge guests with some of the rootinous tootinous games in Calico. Also, in
I'm sorry, can you say rootinous tootinous again?
Rootinous tootinous.
Rootinous tootinous.
Also in Ghost Town, everyone's favorite messy pal, Pigpen, will be making his Knott's Berry Farm debut as he hosts a special meetup at the Livery Stables with some of his favorite animal friends. The celebration continues at the Calico Mine stage, where the Peanuts characters have two all-new musical surprises for guests. During the day, Sally and Schroeder will host a retrospect of music, and the music goes round and round, where they'll have an audience dancing in the aisles. Where they'll have the audience dancing in the aisles, not just a audience.
Just the one.
Yeah, just the one audience. Everyone else, you're out of luck. At nightfall, the stage will transform into a musical extravaganza as the park presents the first ever Woodstock's musical festival. The musical event will feature the Peanuts gang joined by the family-friendly indie band, the Jelly of the Month Club, performing a high-energy rock concert for the whole family. Guests will also uncover hidden fun as they venture into Fiesta Village, where Lucy and Sally have taken a journey south of the border as they have been introduced to the colorful dancing of Mexico. Lucy and Sally's Fiesta Fantasy will bring lively music, traditional costumes, and live performances to the Fiesta Village stage.
Awesome.
The best way to enjoy every weekend of the all-new Knott's Peanut Celebration and all of the other seasons of fun is with a 2018 season pass. Should I really go over the season pass details?
No, it's fine. Okay, so
I love Fiesta Village. I just gotta say, I don't know why.
It's got this wonderfully 70s vibe.
Yeah, right.
Which it was when it was built, but my goodness, it's just like stepping back in time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys have three kids.
Yes.
All in various ages. Right. One is 6, 17.
We
18.
Have a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old, and our daughter is gonna be 20.
Oh my god.
And Tuesday.
Okay, so how familiar are they with the Peanuts characters, and what did you say to me about this show?
Okay.
About this celebration? Rootinous tootinous. What are your thoughts on this and this whole? Because I know
you
mine.
You know, for us, we grew up with the Peanuts movies and everything, and they do show them in some of the Knott's merchandise stores, but we could never seem to get our kids interested. Our youngest is actually scared of the costumes, even at Disneyland. Does not want to go near him, but our 10-year-old is very much, he's a ham. So he wants to go interact with them and tease them and, you know, make jokes. But he doesn't care, about the Peanuts characters.
Yeah, it's just about the interaction. It's not about...
Yeah, it doesn't matter what characters in costume. Yeah. He doesn't care.
Right.
We're like, oh, look at Snoopy, it's Snoopy. And he's like, yeah, who's Snoopy?
Yeah.
Can
we go now?
Yeah.
He's getting that age.
You're a 6-year-old?
Yes.
Obviously, does he still do the Camp Snoopy attractions?
Yeah, okay. So both of them still do the Camp Snoopy stuff. Like, we do the Ferris wheel together. We do the bouncy trucks. I don't know if that's really what it's called.
Pig pens.
We call it bouncy trucks.
Yeah, the kids come up with their own names. They're not going to be like, I want to go on the Calico Mine ride. They're going to be like...
Let's go on that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so we go on several rides over there.
Trucks, yeah. And bouncy trucks.
Yeah. And there's this like boat... What's that boat one? Man, I don't know any of their names, actually.
Yeah,
we just know
our kids' names. That's
anyway,
just the boat ride.
Camp Snoopy, yes, we spend a lot of time there. And it's cool. I like it there. But yeah, they won't really sit for... They don't really care about the shows or whatever. And we'd like to check them out, and we'll make them do it, you know? Because, you know, that's what parents do, is torture you.
That's family togetherness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, shut up. I want to see it.
Yeah. It's not about you. It's about me.
Yeah.
So,
Mommy needs to sit and drink her beer.
Yeah. Turn this theme park around.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I think anything that they do that's different, I think is a good thing. Because it just kind of changes things up. I don't know.
I think, disagree.
Well, you know, of course you do. But no, just kidding.
No, basically Knott's is never just knots. They always have some event going on. So during right after Christmas, then they have, I think it's February is when they have the breast cancer awareness. So it seems like everything is pink there and it's like whatever. Seems like this is just another theme they're adding until they lead into their next event. I think it's the Boysenberry Festival.
And it's which just, I love and we should all go to.
Yes, it together. Is my... Oh, it's hard to say if that's my favorite. I love every...
The Christmas time is cool.
At Knott's. I love Christmas. Yeah. I love their interactive summer. What's it called? Ghost Town Alive.
Oh, Ghost Town Alive, yeah.
I love Boysenberry Festival. I love Halloween. But this...
You just can't...
...is not interesting me. I don't... My kids don't care about the Peanuts characters. I don't care about the Peanuts characters. I am impressed that they're finally utilizing all their stages. Fiesta Village stage is always empty. There's always like some family sitting there eating lunch.
Yeah. They used to have bands and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. But you want to know what really seems telling? Crazy Kirk was not mentioned.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I know Crazy Kirk and his other personality, Billy Hill, was at D23, so... That maybe the
switch teams.
So maybe he went back, they went and performed as Billy Hill and the Hillbillies at D23, so maybe they're going back to, I know they were part of the Christmas celebration at Knott's,
yeah, and
right?
They did some of the music for the ride overlays during Halloween.
Oh, interesting.
But they usually have a standing show almost every night at Knott's. You could go see them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not mentioned in
Interesting.
Here.
Interesting, yeah. That is, I didn't notice that until you mentioned it right now, that they're not mentioned as any.
Well, because as I was reading through all the music and the stages, I'm like, where's Crazy Kirk if not the Birdcage Theater?
Right, yeah. They just, on the local news station this morning, they did a remote from the, they actually showed my good friend, Noel, who is the resident artist at, he's the one doing the drawings and the art classes
there. They did a drawing thing over Halloween.
Oh yeah, and he was doing that as well. So when he wasn't friends with the deputy mayor, he was doing the art classes over there too, and he was also in the Birdcage Theater. And so I they're definitely stepping up their game in terms of entertainment offerings and things like that. And
yeah, I just think some days they could just be Knott's Berry Farm.
Like, I wish they could.
Always have to be something,
some sort of a festival.
I mean, like I said, you don't have to participate in Ghost Town Alive, and I love the Boysenberry Festival. And you have to do something for Halloween and Christmas,
of
but
course,
during
yeah.
the other months, why can't you just be Knott's Berry Farm?
That's
what happened to the random street fights.
Do they not do those anymore?
I can't remember the last time I saw one that wasn't at Ghost Town Alive.
Okay. Yeah, because they just used to have them.
Yeah. And when you're a little kid, it's really scary, but, fun.
We loved the Boysenberry Festival, and I'm hoping to make it out. I'm actually going to be chaperoning a high school dance at Knott's Berry Farm next week.
Okay. A high school dance at Knott's Berry Farm.
They're having their
nice.
Winter, they're having their winter formal, so I'm going to be, me and my wife will be there.
That's awesome.
So that's going
to
be.
It's kind of like you get to go to winter formal.
But it is like
bring a ruler with you and be like, 1 foot apart.
Yeah. I got to chaperone their prom last year, and so I was like, I got to go to prom again. I only went once.
Confiscate all their alcohol.
Yeah. No. Yes. So, all right. Well, that is going to do it for this show. Thank you guys for participating. Thank you for listening. Again, feel free to contact with us. Go over to our Facebook page and take our poll. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Come back in 2 weeks when we do part two of our 2018 preview, where we'll be talking about Pixar Pier and the DCA Food and Wine Festival, which is one of my personal favorite events of the year. Until then, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vacation Land.